Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another, it's not another for all of you. It's the first for some of you. But this is, even though you didn't know it, you weren't aware, this is the most scintillating hour in finance radio. It's been established. It's no longer disputed. It just is what it is. And that's why you're hearing it today. And so pumped to be here on KXL in Portland. Our first week down here, we've been running a show now for 5 years up in Seattle on Cairo and KTTH, the two shows up there, and recently had an opportunity to expand to Portland and get to work with Lars, who's good friends with a client of ours and who's become a very good personal friend of mine, Dory Monson, who's the number one radio show host in Seattle, and he's buddies with Lars, and got to meet Lars, and it just seemed like a natural marriage. And so we've now expanded working with Lars and expanded to KXL down there in Portland. And we're also opening an office down there in Portland. I think we should have it open by the end of January. But yeah, just happy to be here. And I want to kind of lay out the premise. The people in Seattle, God bless them. They still tune in. They're not tired of us yet. But the whole reason behind doing this show is we are a registered investment advisor. We manage clients' assets. We do it very differently than most do. So if you listen to this show, you'll kind of pick that up. But we kind of took a gamble, a roll of the dice, if you will, 5 years ago when we started the show, because we thought it would be a good opportunity to, you know, discuss how we do things and our principles and our philosophies. I've always been a huge fan of AM radio, grew up listening to Lars. Actually, he's one of the guys I grew up listening to. And we thought it would be a great venue to share our philosophies and meet with like-minded clients. But the issue that I had was I did not want it to be an hour-long infomercial. And I'm just like you guys. I turn into the talk radio shows on the weekend, and I'm hoping to run into run-ins of, you know, Rush or reruns of Rush and Lars and things like that. And if I run into one of those finance shows and it sounds scripted, it's boring, it's awful. They say the same thing over and over, asset allocation, bonds, blah, blah, right? It's just nothing. It's just trying to induce people to call them. It's an advertisement. And that's no problem. But I just thought, okay, if that's what it takes for this to work, then we're not going to have a show very long. Because that's not what I want to do. I want to share with the audience our philosophy, but we also want to interview experts in the financial arena. And we also, the goal of the show was to take complex financial issues, like the things that caused the meltdown in 2008-09, the things that caused the volatility complex to implode in early 2018. The reason why we were telling people on our show in late January, early February this year, to be very careful, this virus thing looked like it could have serious economic impacts. We want, whether or not you become clients of ours, we want the show to be a benefit. And so that's, and we're trying to break things down. We're trying to make them edible. Like I've told all our clients in Seattle, you're in this industry long enough. What you realize is that people don't say what they mean. They say what they think sounds smart, right? So even our own clients will ask it. They'll say, Zach, what did this guy mean when he said this? And I go, oh, he meant this, right? Just, it was simple. Why didn't he just say that? And I'm like, well, because then he doesn't sound like he's capable of running a $500 million portfolio, right? You got to sound the part, which I think is nonsense. My whole attitude has always been, when you really understand something, right? When you really have mastered something, you should be able to explain it to a six-year-old. And if I'm breaking it down like you're a six-year-old, don't feel insulted. You guys don't do this for a living. It's just a matter of vernacular. When we clear out the noise and we discuss the principle or the idea, you'll get it. This isn't rocket science. It's just, and it's done by that way on purpose. And you're talking to a guy, me, I've worked at mutual fund companies. I've worked at three of the biggest brokerage firms on the street. I've worked at running a retail investment arm of an investment bank. I've been on all sides of the industry. We've done venture capital. We've done taking companies public, all different angles of it. And we want to break it down so you understand, because you understand the majority of what's going on. It's the vernacular. It's the terms. So we're going to get past that. Anyway, I'm so pumped to be here. I grew up in this area, in the Seattle area, so I've got family and friends down in Portland, and just really looking forward to it. Beautiful city. I think you guys are kind of going through a similar thing we are right now, which is these beautiful cities we love have been kind of turned upside down, hoping it's more temporary. And I was laughing with some of my friends around the country because the name of the radio show is Know Your Risk Radio. And it's strikingly ironic that the two American cities we broadcast in are Seattle and Portland. But anyway, I guess you could say that we're all a little bit closer and a little more familiar with risk, especially after the last year. So anyway, now the way that we do it typically, again, for our new Portland people joining us here, is we start the show out with a market update, explaining the interesting things that have happened in the week. The things that I think that the viewers need to listen to. And then we have three or four segments of things that we do deep dives on. And then my favorite part of the show is that we get really, really big names in finance to come on and do long form interviews that can range anywhere from 50 minutes to an hour and a half. And obviously, we can't air the interview in entirety on the show. It's an hour. But we also have a podcast. So the podcast is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You can Google it. You can also follow me on Twitter. I post the new episodes and the new interviews on Twitter every single week. My sign on Twitter is @KYRRadio. And we've had some really big people in the world of finance: Raoul Paul, Grant Williams, Tommy Thornton, Roger Ibbotson, Dr. Roger Ibbotson, several multi-billion dollar hedge fund managers who have been kind enough to befriend me and have gotten to know them. And we're going to go to the source. We're going to go to the horse's mouth. And we're not just going to talk to you about mutual funds and asset allocation. I want you to really know the nuances of what's going on in the market. More importantly, I want to familiarize listeners with the idea of risk management, because it's what we don't talk about in retail space. And when guys that manage money get together, and we talk about other things too, right? But the thing that we're all focused on is risk management. And why is that? Because the investing's a lot like life. If you're doing the right things and you're following a disciplined process, the wins are going to take care of themselves. You're going to get some right. What really makes the biggest impact on your investment results over a long period of time is what penalty do you pay for the mistakes, right? So, because the easiest way to improve your long-term investing results is to minimize your losses. And it's just not the way the average retail client thinks about it. And so that kind of was the seed, if you will, that we planted the radio show along, and it's just kind of grown. So we just wanted to share that risk management concept and then show you how we're doing it. And what we mean by that as it relates to the portfolios we manage, because we're a firm, we manage almost $200 million. What we mean by that is that risk is essential to growth. We must have some sort of risk in our portfolio. If we don't have risk, we can't grow. But what's important is that every bit of risk you have in your portfolio, every bit of risk you're exposed to, it needs to be productive. It needs to pay you. Because if you're not, and you'll hear me talk about bonds plenty, but the reason I talk about bonds is because it's a perfect illustration of bad risk management. You look at earlier in the year, what is, at net of fees, the average bond fund's paying you 1.5%, 2% as an asset class. In the month of March alone, investment grade bonds were down 22%. Okay. That is a horrible risk reward setup. Hey, I got an idea. If everything's good, you're going to make 1.5% to 2%. When things get dicey, you could lose 22 to 26. Where do you want to sign? Right. That's what investing in bonds is right now. It's what Jim Grant of Grant's Interest Rate Observer, longtime Wall Street, key guy, one of the first people calling out the real estate crisis and the bubble in real estate back in 08, 09. It's what he coined the term return-free risk. right? That's what a bond is. And so we use bonds kind of as the whipping boy to explain risk management. And as always, guys, the other thing now, and we got to go because that was our warm up for KXL. And we're going to come back after this segment. We're going to do the market update. We're going to get into our segments. We're going to air the first 10 or 15 minutes or so of the radio. And then we'll remind you again of what the podcast is so you can listen to the rest of the radio interview. But if you want to call, if you're sitting there and you're listening to us going, you know, this sounds interesting. What are these guys using as their bond replacement strategy that's insured against loss that, you know, makes on average somewhere between 2 to 3 times as much as bonds do, has no fee, insured against loss, and making 5 to 6% a year on average. If you want to know what that is, if you want to know how we're lowering clients' expenses, drastically reducing their risk, and actually increasing their upside, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Again, follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. If you want to have a consultation with us, you can call that number, 866-779-RISK. We can do a risk review right on the phone with me or one of our other advisors, or you can wait until the offices are opened up at the end of January. For those of you down in Portland, we're going to be down there on a weekly basis meeting with people as we populate that office and spread down the I-5 corridor. Anyway, call us, email us. Guys, there's a better way to do things. The way your assets are currently being managed, it ain't going to work, and it hasn't worked. You got a lot of return-free risk in your portfolio. So we're going to hopefully show you how we can drastically reduce that risk exposure, lower your fees, increase your upside. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Stick with us. Going to be back with the market update, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast on knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Well, okay. First of all, thanks for sticking to the break. Now we're going to get into the market update, discuss what happened this week. One of the interesting things. Now, again, for our listeners, I heard it was actually a potential client came down in the office this week and said, you know, I hadn't heard Zach's radio show in a long time. I tuned in and he was just talking about the same old thing. First of all, we cover a really wide range of topics here with a lot of people. The same old thing being, you know, that's kind of like saying the news is still talking about COVID. Guys, the reason we're talking about the same old thing is because we are looking at it a whole basket full of historical anomalies all at the same time. Okay, in the year of 2020, you will see a hit to our GDP on a national basis of somewhere, or GDP, it is national by very nature, so that was kind of redundant. But GDP, the economic output of our country, should be down somewhere between 7-8%, maybe as low as 6% in the year of 2020. Now, to put that in perspective, during the great financial crisis, 2008-2009, GDP, gross domestic production, it dropped by 3.8%. Okay, so the economic hit that we're going to take this year, you know, is roughly double that of the financial crisis. Now, remember, that hit pretty much brought the world economy and the world financial markets to their knees. This year, in a COVID year, we've gotten double the hit to the economy. The NASDAQ is now up 40% on the year. The S&P is up 15% on the year. And stock valuations after December 21st, and we'll have to check it to see, but according to our math, if you normalize for fourth quarter earnings, because when people are looking at the price to earnings ratio right now on the S&P 500, it looks at the last 12 months. So you still have the earnings from fourth quarter of last year, which I believe were at or very near record levels, being factored into that equation. If you normalize for fourth quarter earnings, which is an estimate, but they're going to be lower than they were last year, I can promise you that. And then you add Tesla into the S&P, which it gets added to on December 21st, you're looking at an S&P with a PE ratio somewhere between 47 to 50, according to our math. Now, put that in perspective. The last time we were anywhere close to that, the previous record was a 44 price to earnings on the S&P in 1999, the height of the tech bubble. That was also a year in which the economy in the United States grew by about 4.1%. This year, we're going to break that record. We're going to hit a 50 PE, and we will have the single largest contraction in a single year of economic output in our country since the Great Depression. So when people say we're talking about the same old thing, guys, we haven't seen anything like this before, where asset prices have been divorced from economic reality. Now, not completely across the board, but for the most part, if I was to tell you at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of any year, any part, right? If I was to tell you, look, we're going to reach record valuations in a year where we have the biggest contraction of GDP since the Great Depression, you'd have looked at me like I was nuts. And oh, by the way, it's not going to be some kind of accounting gimmick. There will also be significant new all-time highs. As in that year where GDP declines the most it's declined since the Great Depression, the NASDAQ will finish up 40% positive on the year. The S&P will be up 15% on the year. Corporate bonds will make new record highs with record low yields, with bankruptcies rivaling that of the financial crisis. It really is an economic Frankenstein type situation here. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm just saying there really is nothing to compare it to. And it's absolutely fascinating. Now, one of the aspects of this that's come into light this week was the Federal Reserve, maybe especially for the people joining us in Portland, you may not be aware of this, but the Federal Reserve earlier this year during the crisis, they did something that no Federal Reserve Bank has ever done. And that is that they violated, in my opinion, they violated the tenets of the Federal Reserve Act. So in the Federal Reserve Act, the rules that constrain the Federal Reserve, it says explicitly that the Federal Reserve can only buy assets that are issued by the U.S. government or government-sponsored entities like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. During the crisis this year, the Federal Reserve printed $2.5 trillion, with a T, dollars and put it in a special purpose vehicle and started up buying company debt, public companies, but normal companies, not government-sponsored entities, which is a violation of the Federal Reserve Act. Now, the way they got around it was they put the $2.5 trillion in this special purpose vehicle, the SPV, and they put it under the purview of the Treasury. So they looked at it and said, hey, we're not the ones buying the bonds, right? We're not the ones buying the bonds, right? It's ridiculous. They're the ones that funded the account. So of course they are, right? But it's under the purview of the Treasury. So they're not technically violating the Federal Reserve Act. But anyway, they started buying up company debt. And that's why you've seen this big rebound in corporate debt, even though corporate balance sheets have gotten significantly worse. Meaning that, again, we went from the economy relatively very strong last year to where we are this year, and corporate bond issuance is up 56% year over year, which means someone's buying them. Why are they buying them? Because the Fed started buying them and they knew that they're going to go up in price. So the bonds no longer reflect the credit quality of the companies. And there was an article that came out recently. It's like, why is the Fed still buying bonds? And why is it that the bonds they're buying are from the biggest, strongest companies? One of the companies they've purchased the most debt from is Apple. Well, Apple doesn't need any help. What do they have? $180, $190 billion on their balance sheet? Why would they be doing that? And the reason they're doing it is for the same reason they did QE. It's financial repression. It's taking otherwise what are considered safe assets out of the marketplace, right, to lower the yields. Because if I buy a bunch of Apple, a bunch of Apple bonds, I'm going to push the price of those bonds up so they're going to pay me less in interest. And what does that do? If there's less safe assets, it pushes investors further out on the risk curve. That's what the Federal Reserve is trying to do. They're trying to force you to buy riskier assets. unequivocally. And if you think that I'm being hyperbolic, that's the whole purpose of quantitative easing. That's why the Federal Reserve's balance sheet went from $880 billion in 2007 to where we're at now, almost $7.5 trillion. And for those of you in Portland that haven't listened to this show and heard me rant and rave on this for you know, week after week, what quantitative easing is the Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air and then taking that money and buying up assets out of the market. Buying up until this point, it was just U.S. government bonds and mortgage-backed securities and things of that nature. But now they're buying company debt. Apple's debt, Google's debt, right? And it's just another branch of financial repression. That's all it is. They're just trying to force you further and further out on the risk curve. And that's what makes this market so dicey, which I mean, you've got risks to both sides. You're at record valuations with a horrifically weakened economy underneath you, so you could collapse at any moment. Yet at the same time, you've got the Federal Reserve printing money like an aircraft carrier full of drunken sailors, trying to get investors to do exactly what they probably shouldn't be doing, because they want to drive asset prices higher. So, of course, we all know how this ends. It's going to end like any other bubble has. The problem with this one, though, is in the past, the central banks tended to be the ones that tried to keep asset bubbles in control. Now they are the ones sponsoring the party. And the reason they're doing that is, they recognize the weakness in the overall economy. And bottom line is, when you look at the number of baby boomers and the amount of wealth they control, when the stock market goes up 15%, it has an impact on consumer spending. So if business is broken down, if the economy is broken down, they're like, hey, let's juice asset prices, and that will push more capital into the economy. The problem is who does that benefit? That benefits the people with the most assets. And what is one of the biggest problems we face in this country? A record-wide wealth gap. And because of this practice, because of the Federal Reserve relying on monetary policy and financial repression, you have seen the wealth gap blow out this year. We were at record levels coming into the year, and it's blown out. And it maddens me because we've gotten this. All we do is kick the can down the road. We don't ever deal with issues. We don't ever fix the root problems. The Fed just issues another $2.5 trillion and says, go have at it. Higher asset prices fix everything. What is this, like the greatest year ever, I think, on record for the 1%'s wealth growth, right? The growth of the wealth of the 1% this year is like the biggest on record. Yet it's also going to be historically one of the biggest crushing, nasty years in history for small business. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. Anyway, I start talking about the Federal Reserve and I get too fired up. We didn't get to all the stuff we wanted to in the market update. Stick with us. We got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and finish the market update. Then we're going to get to our next topic as well, which is how retail investors are wagging the dog. I'll explain that. And again, this episode is focused on all those people out there that keep saying to me, Zach, how in the world do markets keep going higher when all we see is bad economic information? So we'll finish the market update. We'll get to that. And as always, guys, if you want to know how we are lowering client costs, if you want to know how we are fireproofing client portfolios, if you want to know how we're doing all of that and increasing their upside potential, call us. 866-779-RISK. There's a better way to do things. Again, 866-779-RISK. Ask for our common sense investment booklet. Talk about our bond replacement strategy. Ask for a portfolio review to talk about our risk managed portfolios. You guys know the drill. Well, the Portland people don't. You're new to this, but you can go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can call us. You can email us. Invest 3 minutes for your financial well-being for the rest of your life. Just find out, is there something else out there? Is there something better than bonds? Is there a way to protect my stock portfolio so I can continue to go up with the market, but I got a chair when the music stops? Yes. The answer is yes. It just takes a call. 866-779-RISK. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk podcast on Know Your Risk Radio.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock-bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Okay, so I'm not going to run over. You're not going to get me caught going off on the Federal Reserve. I think we explained why the Federal Reserve is still buying bonds. The producer, Darren, our fearless... Well, Darren's not with it. That's not him. That's Jerry. Anyway, you guys are going to get to know the people. We've got Darren, who's out on leave right now because he had his first child. He's our fearless millennial. And I say that to mock him jokingly because he's the best in the business. But he's still in his 20s, so he's a millennial. But here's the catch. He's got a child, and he bought a home. So like I told him, I go, you've graduated out of millennial status. You're just a plain old adult now with a kid. You're in the game, man. And then the other guy, my account manager, he's kind of like, his name's Jerry too. He's kind of like my Jerry Maguire, my ambassador Aquan, if you will. Anyway, he stands in for Darren when Darren's out on leave like he is now. Anyway, so you guys will get to know them as well. So if you hear me talking to some person that you're like, who's he talking to? It's one of them. It happens. Anyway, okay. So let's get back into the rest of the market update. Another one, look, we've been talking about this for a long time too. Home sales information came out today and it was way stronger. And people are like, man, that is a resilient part of the economy. That's a great sign. No, it's not, guys. And it's not all bad either. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like we've been telling you literally for the last 8 months, home prices are going to go up. And the reason they're going to go up is because mortgage rates are going down. It's that simple. Home prices have become, and they've always been to some degree, but especially now, they're just a derivative of mortgage rates. That's all they are. Okay, so when mortgage rates go down, home prices will go up. When mortgage rates go up, like they did in 2018, at the end of 2017, mortgage rates, you could get 3.3% 30-year money at the end of 2017. That 30-year rate by the end of 2018 had gone up to 5.1. In 2018, when it rose to 5.1, new home sales dropped 19%. Okay. This year, in the middle of a pandemic, rates got down to a new low record of 2.7. And what's happening? Home prices are taking off again and they can't keep up with inventory. The Federal Reserve is buying more mortgage-backed securities, which will continue to push mortgage rates lower. For those of you that think you got to lock in your mortgage rate now because they're going up, no. You will probably see them substantially lower. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to see 30-year mortgages with a one handle on them. And you could even get down into the 0 point something in mortgage rates. People are like, Zach, that's not possible. Oh, but it is. A buddy of mine who's an analyst at the Swedish bank Nordea, he lives in Copenhagen. And he and his new wife, they just got married about 5 months ago, 6 months ago. They bought a condo in downtown Copenhagen. And they got a negative 0.35 mortgage rate. Okay, now I'm not saying we're the same as they are, but what I'm saying is what we're doing as far as monetary policy and controlling interest rates and all, the rest of the world's been doing it too. We've just kind of gone behind them. So when you want to look at where we're headed here as a country, you know, take a look around. It gives you a good guideline. And so you're going to see them do the same thing. And why? Because homes are a source of wealth for consumers, right? It's you know, my clients ask me, when are we going to get back to normal? We're not. Deficits have gotten too big. Government, the Federal Reserve is going to be meddling in financial markets until something drastic happens, like an overhaul of the financial system or the monetary system or something like that. And the reason I say that is because they can't back away, right? Deficits have gotten too large. Interest rates are too low. They can't let things float. If they did, it'd get out of control too fast. And you know, you look at the record debts we've built up. And like I said earlier, not just on the government balance sheets, but on private balance sheets, businesses, corporate balance sheets. This is the first recession in the history of the United States where corporate debt rose. There's more corporate debt. One of the benefits of recessions is supposed to be that debt gets resolved either by way of, you know, negotiations or bankruptcies or paying it off, right? You burn off the excess in a recession. We haven't done that in this one. We've added a boatload more. Because what are we doing? We're just kicking the can down the road, right? So real estate is much the same way. But like I said, I think real estate is much less risky right now than the stock market. People are like, is it record highs? Well, yeah, but look at the rates. And what I mean by this is, again, when I was referencing what happened with new home sales dropping 19% in 2018, mortgage rates were at 3.3%. They rose to 5.1%. New home sales dropped almost 20%. People are like, what's going on? There must be something wrong. Like, guys like me were like, it's the rates. They're like, that's not a big enough increase. That's only a 1.8% increase. That's nothing. And you go look at them and go, guys, it's not about the nominal rate increase. It's about the percentage increase. And bottom line is, when you go from 3.3 to 5.1, that's like a 63% increase of interest rate expense. And we did the math on it. It takes the average $400,000 home, takes the home payment on a $400,000 home up $400 a month. Because people aren't buying homes, they're buying a mortgage. So the lower rates are, the higher home prices are going to be. So what are they going to do? I mean, I think the logical conclusion, what have they done on the U.S. 10-year treasury? It got down to a 0.3% yield. Now it's paying 0.9 or something like that. Mortgage rates are going to follow suit. And as long as they do, housing prices will continue to rise. It's so funny. People look at it, they're like, well, something incredible must be happening in housing. No. The nominal price is going up, but the affordability of the payments is staying the same, if not going down. And what is it? 90% of people that purchase a home are via a mortgage. It's probably even higher than that, actually. Anyway, the other interesting thing we do see, though, is that this run in oil, right? Oil bouncing back. You guys know my thoughts on oil. All this talk about oil not being around in 8 to 10 years is complete nonsense. And look, in a lot of ways, I hope they're right. If oil isn't around in 10 years, it's because there's been some kind of massive cold fusion, maybe. Some kind of massive technological advancement, but it's just not going to happen. I just think it's really funny. Everything's going to electric vehicles. One of the biggest inputs in electric vehicles is oil, because all the plastics they use to offset the weight of the electric drivetrain, which is substantially heavier when you add in the batteries, it's substantially heavier than a traditional automobile. So they've got to use extra plastics, which are petroleum-based, to make electric vehicles. Anyway, oil continues to rally. I've said it before. I think it's going to be a rough ride. I don't think it's going to be fun. It's not going to be buying tech. You know, it just goes up every single day. But I still continue to believe a lot of these energy stocks, especially the higher quality ones. I think it's a generational buying opportunity. I'm not advising you to go out and do it. I don't know what your risk scenario is. I don't know what your goals are. So don't take action. Anything that I say on this show is not investment advice. And the reason why everybody says that, but the reason why I say it, guys, is I don't know your situation. I don't know when you're retiring. I don't know how much risk you can have on the table. I don't know what you're planning on doing retiring. I don't know what level of income you make. And all of those things, we don't do cookie cutter portfolios here. You go to all the other firms out there, you know, and good people. I'm not dogging on the firms. But the only determinant on the portfolio you're going to get is your age. Okay, and then that's going to determine how much they put in stocks, how much they put in bonds. That's it. Well, we custom make every portfolio. No, they don't. I worked at three of the biggest firms on Wall Street. I'm just telling you what they all did, and it was identical. It's just your age. We don't do it that way. Nobody should do it that way. Everybody's different. They got different needs, different risk tolerances. So we custom build the portfolios. Anyway, gold. Gold is still kind of languishing. It bounced back hard, I think, with the talk of stimulus. Not hard, but it had some nice days here at the end of the week. And I think that's because of the talk of stimulus. They're going to pass another stimulus bill. Everybody's wringing their hands. Again, for our listeners that are new to us in Portland, we referred to this as the no ticket, no laundry market, meaning the stock market can keep going up as long as the stimulus is pumping. If they pull back on the stimulus or don't pass another stimulus bill, get out of the way. It's just that simple. Okay. The dollar, that whole strong dollar scenario, again, because of all the drastic steps the Fed has taken, they've broken that. The dollar's now broken 90. It's now trading at 89. And to me, it looks like the beginning of a trend, meaning that we're going to be looking at a weaker dollar going forward. That's the way it looks. Now, stay tuned. You know how financial markets are. They can do whatever they want. But it really looks like the Fed is kind of a ball. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look at the money they've sprayed around this economy this year. It's breathtaking. The other one that we noticed this week, there was a day when I get in a lot of conversations with people about valuations. And a lot of, can you hear my ice jingling? I didn't think about the mic being able to pick that up, but it probably can. But a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about valuations. And they're like, well, I don't want to sell my Apple. And I think Apple's a wonderful company. We've owned it for many years. We don't anymore because it's gotten too expensive. Doesn't really make sense to us. But wasn't something that we wanted to sell. Fantastic company. Don't have anything against it. But here's the issue. Apple does like right around $52 billion of free cash flow a year, which is unbelievable, right? Most profitable company of all time. But the reason we're not a fan really isn't anything about Apple. It's the law of large numbers, meaning it's gotten every company and every stock in the history of finance, which is when you have a company like Apple that's at a $2.2 trillion market cap with a 40 price to earnings multiple, and their revenue growth and free cash flow is gone stagnant or declined over the last 50 years. Yet in the last 9 months, their stock price has doubled and their valuation has more than doubled. That kind of leaves you with some questions, right? Well, here's the issue. Just the other day, was it yesterday? Apple stock was up 5%, 5% plus, something like that. You do the math on that, and it's about $115 billion worth of market cap that their stock added in a single day. Now, that single day's gain was more than double their annual free cash flow. So you get to a point where you're like, can this company run another 20%? Well, sure, it can. But you need to remember that 20% for a $2.2 trillion company is roughly $450 billion. And this is a company that isn't growing. And this is what we talk about, the law of large numbers. Valuations matter. That you're literally watching, you're sitting there going, how do you, with no news out, how does your stock just go up $110 billion in a day? I mean, that's the size of GM, Ford, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Domino's Pizza, and we'll throw in Bed Bath & Beyond to random. I mean, that's unbelievable. And nobody seems to bat an eye. Even though we know, we're sitting there going, this is ridiculous. Your company isn't worth $110 billion more today than it was yesterday. And I'm going to tick people off when I say that because Apple's a sacred cow. Don't touch. We made money on it. And this is my whole thing. I think the company's great. I'd hope to buy it again at a lower price someday. But don't get emotionally attached to this stuff. Look at the reality and sit there and go, this doesn't make any sense. And when it doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean the stock's about to plummet. When you realize it doesn't make sense, it usually means the stock's going to keep going for a little while. But what are you better off doing? You're better off getting the heck out of the way. You need a risk management strategy. You need to make sure that when these things turn, which they inevitably will, you need to make sure that when the music stops, you've got a chair. Our clients, on average, just the way we position our clients' portfolios, earlier this year, the market was down 36%. Our average client was down 4 to 5, maybe some as high as 6. Now the market's going to finish up. I think our average client's up on the year somewhere between 7 and 10. We can do that. We can smooth out those. And it's just portfolio construction, guys. We're not saying that we're smarter than everybody else. We're just not bound by the same restrictions they are, and we can think outside the box. We've got better things than bonds. We're not just going to look at you and tell you to ride the market up and down. If you're paying for us, if you're paying for our advisory services, we think we owe you more than just telling you to ride the market up and down. You need risk management. And if you're interested in that, which you should be, give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. You can email us if you don't want to talk to us. Invest the 3 minutes for the rest of your life. There is a better way out there. We can give you more upside, less downside, less cost. Contact us. Get our Common Sense Investment Booklet. Follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. Subscribe to the podcast. Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You guys know the drill. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with one more segment and then kick off our interview today. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on the Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And our new friends on KXL are going to be quickly baptized, if you will, in the way that things are done on the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to get to all the topics that we wanted to discuss today because, as I do every week, I run out of time. I always feel like I got the bullet points lined out. We're going to do it this week. We're going to get to everything. We can't do it. So we still want to talk a couple things about Tesla wagging the dog. And this is happening in the market, but Tesla is just a great example of this, how option purchasing by retail investors is actually driving the stock market higher, which is kind of a new phenomenon that we've never witnessed before. So we'll talk about that next week. And we're also going to talk about the issue with Chinese companies. These Chinese companies want to go public, but they don't want to have to adhere to our auditing standards. And shockingly, there's a lot of American politicians and businessmen advocating for them to do just that. And the question we have is why? Who owns you, right? Who's paying you to say this? Anyway, we'll get to that next week. So we're gonna get right to the interview here. And I just want to say going into it, we're only going to be able to air about 6 or 7 minutes of the interview. And we're going to be interviewing Grant Williams, who is a longtime trader and also purveyor and author of Things That Make You Go, Hmm. It's a investment newsletter that's widely disseminated around the hedge fund circles and mutual fund managers. He's also a co-founder of Real Vision, which is a financial news media outlet that I love and subscribe to. Brilliant guy, humble guy, great thinker. And this is the second time he's been on with us. He's become a friend, good guy. And Grant just gives it to you straight. He knows what's going on, knows the plumbing of the investment and finance world. And he's a good guy, gives it to you straight. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to the interview. Grant, you've been on with us before, but we're thrilled to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, listen, anytime I get invited back anywhere, I'm happy. So thank you, Zach. I enjoyed the last conversation. I'm looking forward to this one.
All right. Well, yeah, you and I have that in common. Okay, one of the things. Now, you may have talked about this extensively, Grant, but I was doing prep for this conversation. And I was kind of scrolling back through things, and I really hadn't. If you've talked about this in great length, I don't think I've heard it. Have you really gotten into the whole Bitcoin thing?
I've talked about it. I don't talk much about it because I don't consider myself a valuable voice to listen to, frankly. I mean, everyone's got an opinion on it. And some of the guys who are heavily into this stuff are extraordinarily well-versed in it and are gifted communicators, and there's plenty of them out there. I have opinions on it. I'm happy to discuss them, but I absolutely don't hold myself out as any kind of expert on it. So yeah. For me, I understand, as I said to someone recently, I understand the beauty of Bitcoin. I really do. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. And being someone that's has an understanding of gold's role and gold, more importantly, probably gold's history, all the things that Bitcoin does make absolute sense to me. But I have questions about its long-term survivability, its robustness, its susceptibility to certain outcomes, which it doesn't solve for, and I'm keen to have those questions answered, and I will engage with anybody. I'm certainly not someone who dismisses it out of hand as a zero, as a Ponzi scheme, and all these things. I understand those arguments. I don't follow them, but I also don't follow the Bitcoin is monetary perfection and it's going to save the world. I believe it to be perfect money, and I'm in the process of writing a piece about it, which is called Perfect Money in an Imperfect World. And I think it's important to understand what perfect money is, but also the challenges it faces in an imperfect world, when the reasons for those imperfections are largely the rules made by those who may at some point seek to kill Bitcoin. So I'm incredibly open-minded about it. I'm absolutely not a zealot about anything, and I'm not an evangelist. And I do grow a little tired of some of the evangelism around Bitcoin, because I think you need open minds on both sides of the argument. But I'm willing to and happy to engage anybody that wants to have a sensible, honest dialogue and answer the questions I have, because for me, they're real questions.
Yeah, well, then this is perfect, because I am very much in the same camp, and all the stuff I've heard on Bitcoin, and this is no knock on it. I agree 100% with your take. I admire Bitcoin. I'll even acknowledge that I think if the world ran on Bitcoin, it'd be a better place. I'm a huge fan of the idea, the principles behind it, the constraints that it has built into it. Love it. And I also think that those reasons are one of its biggest problems that make it a big target for the powers that be. And so anyway, I was hoping that was your take on it, because I kind of felt like we could have a conversation that is unlike most of the conversations that are being had around Bitcoin. And one of the things I wanted to start with was, and this is not exclusive to Bitcoin, we see it, but I kind of wanted to focus this part of it on Bitcoin. Because one of the things that I'm seeing guys like Rick Edelman, you know, who's runs a very large IRA, really known for being a conservative voice for, you know, the average investor. You're seeing guys like that out being proponents of Bitcoin. And when I listen to their arguments, I hear the logical arguments. I hear the features of Bitcoin, and I don't disagree with them. But it all, and I've fallen victim to this too, it all stems to back to, at least to me, from my perspective, it stems back to, well, now we know Bitcoin is real because of where it's valued, right?
Right, yeah. Right?
Because it's gone up a lot, now we know it's real. Same argument used for Tesla, right? You guys said it wasn't real, look at it now. Well, I'm sitting there going, whoa, hold on a second, guys, right? That's price movement. And I'm watching, is this just typical bubble mentality that you think has taken over? And again, before all the Bitcoiners blast me, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't think either one of us are saying that it's equivalent to Tesla. It's not. I see them as very...
Give it up, Zach. They're going to blast you anyway.
Yeah, they're going to come after me anyway. But do you kind of see that going on right now? Whereas if something goes up enough, now it's real. Now it's got credibility.
Yeah, I think this is one of the cruxes of the argument right now. And, you know, we saw this in 2017, and I have spoken to people about this lately. I think this is very different to 2017. I want to get that quite clear, that what's happening now is very different to 2017 in terms of the people who are buying into Bitcoin, the people who are coming out.
All right. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, we got to cut the interview off right there. It's been great to be on with our new friends down there in KXL. Hopefully we'll see some of you soon as we open the office there in January. And as always, guys, if you want a risk management strategy, if you're sitting there going, what is Abraham talking about? What's Zach talking about? Is there a way to lower our fees, lower our risk, and still increase our upside? Yes. Spend the 3 minutes. Call us 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, our firm website. You can email us. You can ask for our Common Sense Investment booklet that talks to you about our fee-free, risk-free bond replacement strategy. You can get a complimentary risk review with me. Anyway, take the 3 minutes, figure out how to do things better. Anyway, we got to run. As always, we'll be back next week. Have another great interview lined up. Everybody have a wonderful holiday weekend. We're all into holidays, right? We can say that. It's officially holiday season, so have a wonderful holiday weekend, and we'll see you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast on Know Your Risk Radio.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.